I went out to sea, you know. I was on a crawfishing expedition. Now, I am kind of building myself up a little bit because I didn't get out of the boat. And in fact, I didn't do anything other than hold on and try not to fall out of the boat, which wasn't out of the realm of possibility. I watched Rupert and Cassidy do all the work, but I figure that counts. I was in the boat on a crawfishing trip. That's definitely a Spanish Wells experience. And then when I got home, there was my dutiful wife waiting to welcome me home, and you know what she had cooking on the stove? Boiled fish. Now, if that doesn't make me fit in around here, I don't know what will. And that brings me to what I want to talk to you about tonight, because I think we all, as human beings, have a natural desire to want to fit in. We don't want to be the odd one out, the weird one, somebody strange, someone who doesn't fit in. That's an awkward feeling, isn't it? We don't feel good when we're that way. But you know, sometimes the Bible tells us that if we belong to the Lord Jesus, in fact, that's just what we have to be in this world. We have to be different. And sometimes, in obeying the Lord Jesus, it's going to mean that we don't fit in this world. Now, I want to look at a couple of scriptures tonight, but first we'll go to the book of 1 Kings. If you have a Bible with you, you can turn to 1 Kings 22, and if you don't, you can just listen to me carefully. 1 Kings 22. I'm glad Brother Cassidy was out of the room so he didn't hear me stealing his glory. But he looks better in a wetsuit than I do anyway, and those goggles, I don't even know which way to put them on. 1 Kings 22 and verse 2. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle in Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Now there's really a problem with those verses I've just read, because there's two kings that are spoken about. There's the king of Israel, a man we know that the Bible calls Ahab. And the Bible says he was one of the most wicked kings that had ever reigned on the throne of Israel. He reigned over 10 of the tribes of Israel. The other two tribes were in a kingdom called Judah. And Jehoshaphat ruled over those two tribes. Jehoshaphat couldn't have been more different than Ahab, the other king, because Jehoshaphat was a king who loved and served the Lord God. And he was someone who was concerned with doing God's will. In fact, the Bible tells us on another occasion when a great army of Syrians came against him, or rather not Syrians, but Ammonites and Moabites came against him. He had a tremendous victory, even though they outnumbered him greatly, because he relied on the Lord God, and the Lord God gave him the victory. Now, what we see him here doing is he goes to hang out with the king of Israel. Now, I want to tell you something. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of your life, you're going to be around people that don't love the same Lord and Savior that you love. The Lord Jesus himself recognized this. When he was talking to his father in John 17, he said that he wasn't going to take them out of the world. In fact, he sends Christians, he sends people who receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior back into the world to be witnesses for him. So we shouldn't expect that we can go off on an island somewhere and it'll be 100% Christians all of the time and we'll never have to come across people that don't know the Lord Jesus. That would be contrary, against the will of God. But there's a totally different thing from having to rub shoulders day by day with people that don't love the Lord Jesus, that don't obey him, that don't care about his will. That's a very different thing from going and hanging out with them and being best of friends with them. The Bible warns us about that in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now a yoke, that's something my wife knows better about because she grew up around farming. She knows all about farming. The yoke is this piece of wood that they use to bind animals together that are going to be pulling a plow or something, or at least that's how they used to do it. Now they just have John Deere, so they don't have to worry about the oxen or the cows or, you know, any of that sort of thing. They can just fire up the tractor and it's simpler. But the idea is that you have two animals that are the same type of animal pulling together that are pulling your plow along. If you get a donkey on one side of the plow and a cow on the other side of the plow, you're going to have trouble plowing a field because they're not going to be pulling together because they're different kinds of animals. And if I may say it, we are different from unbelievers. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you are different. And God says, I don't want you to be linked with unbelievers in any kind of relationship that is going to influence you. Because he tells us that there is no commonality. There's nothing in common between light and darkness, between Christ and Belial, and such things that he speaks about. So this man, Jehoshaphat, was doing something wrong in the first place. He went to hang out with the very wicked king Ahab. And Ahab's sitting around there, and he says, you know, we used to have this great city, Ramoth-Gilead, and it was a great place to go for conch fritters. And then the Syrians conquered it, and now we can't get a decent conch fritter anymore. Would you go up and conquer? Okay, so it doesn't say anything about conch fritters, but I have an overactive imagination, and I'm a little bit hungry. But anyway, so he says, yes, I'll go up and conquer the city with you. But notice what he says. He says in verse 4, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Now, was that true? Well, maybe the last bit was true. Maybe his horses were like Ahab's horses. But I tell you something, Jehoshaphat's people weren't like Ahab's people. Ahab's people were worshiping idols, were worshiping false gods, were sacrificing children, were doing all kinds of horrible things. Jehoshaphat wasn't letting his people do things like that. And when Jehoshaphat said, I'm as you are, I'm just like you, in other words, we fit in. We're two peas in a pod. I don't know where the rice comes in, but there you are. There are the peas. That wasn't true, was it? Jehoshaphat wasn't like Ahab. Ahab was an ungodly man. Jehoshaphat was a godly man. And even here, the fact that Jehoshaphat was different showed through because he said, you know, before we go out to battle, could we inquire of the Lord? That is, could we get a prophet to come in and tell us what the Lord thinks about this? Are we going to be successful? And so they had a lot of prophets on the payroll there in Israel. The only thing was, they were all false prophets. Now, you know, the thing about false prophets is, they tell you what you want to hear. So they all started telling King Ahab, yes, King Ahab, go out to battle, you'll win the fight. Yes, King Ahab, go out to battle, you're going to be victorious, you'll take the city. Yes, King Ahab, God is on your side. One of them got so carried away, he had a flair for the dramatic. He would have been good for the skit night that you have periodically here on Spanish Wells, because he even got out a pair of animal horns and put them on his head and say, thus says the Lord, with these horns you're going to gore the Syrians. And I'll tell you something, it was all a bunch of nonsense. And Jehoshaphat, being a believer, he kind of decided, hey, this doesn't sound quite right. Isn't there a prophet here, said Jehoshaphat, a prophet of the Lord? Ahab says, well, prophet of the Lord, you know, I've put most of those out of the country. I've killed a good many of them. Oh, yes, there is still one. But I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. Now, let me ask you the question. In these days, before they had the Bible written down like we do, the prophets spoke for God. That's what they were to do. If they were a true prophet, what they said was the Word of God. Now, if the Word of God says something about you, and you think it's negative. You think it's a bad thing that the Word of God says about you. If the Word of God says that, for instance, you're a proud person, what should you do with that instance? Should you say, well, who cares about that Word of God? I'm going to put that aside. That's just not important. Or should you say, hey, this is the Word of God. This is God who made me. This is God whom I'm going to have to stand before one day, the judge of all the earth. And if God says something about my life is bad, then I better change. The Bible calls that repentance. I better turn around from the bad way I'm going, and I better do it God's way. That's basically the only two things you can do when you hear the Word of God. If you hear the Word of God, and it applies to your life, and it says something to you, and you say, oh, that's reminding me something bad about myself. Either you can obey the Word of God and turn from your wickedness, or you can say, well, that's just a bunch of rubbish. I don't really care about it. And that's basically how Ahab was. He said about the prophet of the Lord, I hate him because he never says anything good about me. So here was Micaiah, the prophet of the Lord, locked up in jail. And they went along to get him out of prison. And as they were bringing him out of prison, his guard said to him, now listen, Micaiah, let me give you a little friendly advice. There have been a lot of prophets running around, all kinds of religious people running around in the palace, and they're all telling Ahab good things. They're all accentuating the positive. They're all being very positive in what they're telling him. They're positive thinking people, you know. Why can't you just get on board with everyone else, Micaiah, and say something good to the king? And Micaiah says, whatever the Lord tells me to say, that's what I'll say. So he gets up to the court in front of the kings. And there he stands, and Ahab says, well, what does the Lord say? And Micaiah says, the Lord says, go up and prosper. You're going to win the battle. And Ahab knew better than that. He could tell he was being sarcastic with him. He said, how many times, Micaiah, must I tell you to speak only that which the Lord says? Very well, then. Micaiah says, I had a vision, and I saw all Israel scattered as sheep without a shepherd. In other words, Ahab was the king of the nation. He was supposed to be the shepherd over the people to take care of them and protect them. And if the people don't have a shepherd, that man Ahab was going to be killed in battle and they were going to lose. And as soon as Micaiah said that, Ahab said, now Jehoshaphat, this is what I told you. He never says anything good about me. It's a sad thing that he would hear the word of God and he wouldn't change. He would hear the word of God and he would even know it was true. And he would still persist in doing it the wrong way and rebelling against the Lord. Well, it's not surprising because he didn't know the Lord. He went up to that battle and he was killed. But Jehoshaphat knew the Lord, and he went up to that battle and he narrowly survived. He was almost hurt himself. And the only reason he survived was God was gracious to him. And God is that way to us so many times, you know. Many times as believers like Jehoshaphat, we want to fit in. We want to be like everybody else. And so we try to just kind of go along with what everybody else is doing. But you know, the Word of God won't allow us to do that. Let me show you a verse in the New Testament a moment. I want to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this may come as a surprise to you. I'll tell you while you're turning to 1 Thessalonians 2. But you know, there are some older people in the meeting here tonight. And maybe some of the younger people, maybe some of the very young people in the meeting tonight are saying, yeah, there's a lot of those old people in here. Well, I'm not going to ask anybody to single themselves out as old. But I'll tell you a secret. Even the people in this room that you might think are very, very old, and some of you are looking at me and saying, yeah, you look pretty old. Maybe I am. But even the people in this room you think are very old, I'll let you in on something. They were once young. And you know something? this is not a new problem. Because when they were young, they had to grapple with the same problems. They had to wrestle with having people around them that didn't love the Lord and wanted to do things against the Lord's word. And they had to make a choice whether to do it God's way or whether to try and fit in and be like everybody else. And some of those people, if you talk to them and ask them about it, they'd tell you they didn't always do a good job of doing it the Lord's way, but they might tell you that, like Jehoshaphat, God has been merciful to them and has taught them through life that it's far better to do it the Lord's way. You know, that's a very hard thing to learn. But even older people have to continue to practice that. Because you know something, when you get older, there's still plenty of opportunity to sin. There's still plenty of opportunity to rebel against the Lord. And there's still people in your age bracket that are going to try and get you to do things against the will of the Lord. So this isn't just truth for young people. But it's important that when you're young, you learn this truth. Now I want you to see how the Thessalonians responded to the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please, we're going to see what their reaction was. First, I want to read by way of context, in verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know that our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So he tells them, you know, when we came among you, even though we had suffered before when we were in Philippi, when we were preaching for the Lord, they beat us up and they put us in prison and they treated us wrongfully. Even then, we came and we preached the word to you. And it had a very good effect on them. It changed their lives. Now I want you to look at verse 13. This is 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Now notice what he says there. When you heard the word of God from us, when you heard us preaching, you didn't sit there and say, well, that's just Paul's idea. Or that's just some theologian's idea. Or that's some preacher's idea. When you heard us preach it, you said, that's the word of the Lord. That's the truth. That's what I need. I need to turn away from my sins, and I need to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, that's not only for unbelievers to do. Because I find many times believers hear the word of God. And on some level in their head, they say, yeah, of course we believe that. That's in the Bible. But it doesn't really affect their lives one bit. It doesn't affect how they go out and live their lives. They might come to the meeting and listen to the word of God. That's very good. But they go out of the meeting and it's as if they haven't heard it because they don't put it into practice. Now you may wonder, who's the preacher talking about in the chapel building tonight? What does he know about somebody here on Spanish Wells? I tell you, I don't know anything. I'm not talking about anybody out there. I'm talking about somebody up here. Because for a long time in my life, particularly when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, I very much struggled with going to school and trying to fit in with other people that didn't love the Lord Jesus. And in that desire, in that wanting to fit in, I sometimes compromised the Word of God. I sometimes ignored the Word of God. Even though I knew it up here, because like many of you, I had Christian parents and Christian grandparents, and I had grown up in a chapel that preached the Word of God, I didn't always live that way. Because really, at the bottom of it, I didn't consider that what I was hearing preached every week was not the word of the elders or not the word of some preacher that came to visit at the chapel. It's the word of God. And therefore, I need to listen to it. I need to live according to it. In fact, I need to love it. Now, I'm sure a lot of people come and they try and put you on guilt trips about how you ought to read the Word of God more. You ought to read the Word of God every day. You ought to spend time in God's Word every day. And if you're not, you're a nasty person. They might give that kind of idea. They might say it more politely than that. But they might try and put you on a guilt trip. I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to tell you what's even more valuable than that. Yes, it's true. We ought to read this book because it's the Word of God. But I tell you what's even more important than that. We ought to love this book because it's the Word of God. Now let me ask you the question. Do we love the Bible? The Bible is what tells us what God is like. It tells us about what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And He's done a lot for us. Do we love it? And if we don't love it, what I'd advise you to do is pray to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to love your word. Help me to take your word and to eat it and have it be like honey, not literally to eat it, but in other words, to read it and take it in and make it part of me because it's the word of God. And that is what is going to bring you nearer to God in your relationship. That is what's going to begin by the Holy Spirit using this word to make you like the Lord Jesus. And that is what's going to enable you and give you the courage to stand for the Lord Jesus, even when it means you don't fit in. And sometime we'll have to do that. But I'll tell you something. The Lord says, them that honor me, I will honor. And the Lord Jesus is going to repay you so much more in glory for any step of testimony you've taken for him down here. So let us remember, this is the Word of God, and we need to follow it, but we also need to love it. That's what's going to help us to live the way God wants us to live. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for the Lord Jesus. We pray especially for the young people here that they'd love Thy Word. But Father, we older ones need to hear that just as much. How we can sometimes become cold, Father. It's a busy life. We have many pressures, many things competing for our time and attention. Let us not set aside Thy Word, Father. Help us to love it and to love the God of the Word, the One who's done so much for us, for He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Thank Thee for each who's here tonight, Father. We're so glad to see them interested in Thy things. We praise Thee in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.